Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves for a shock.
Ready to be challenged? Maybe a little offended, but definitely shocked. This is Shock Therapy Live. Your therapy session with Nate Heitzig. We're not looking for stump the pastor questions, so put down your Devos and open your diaries. Really, this isn't systematic theology.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not at all.
This is Shock Therapy Live. Now, here's Steve-O.
Good morning.
I know you want it.
Oh, man.
Nah, 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 nah.
She's a good girl.
Ooh!
Gosh, dude. That's like the biggest earworm for me right now. I hate that song, too. Oh, I hate that song.
My wife likes it, so whenever it comes out in the car, she turns it up and I'm like, Janae, do you realize how horrible this song is? What it's saying? Oh, I hate that song.
And now it's going to be stuck in my head all day. Thankfully, I don't know any of the words except for that moment right there. So,
oh, hey, I found my little thing.
Oh, perfect. It is Shock Therapy Live. Welcome to it, Steve-O and Pastor Nate with you.
Dude, we're going to get crazy.
Yeah, if you have never been a part of Shock Therapy Live, let me clue you in. It is a one-hour call-in show centered around you and this man right here, Pastor Nate Heitzig.
And we literally want to shock you with tasers.
No, that almost happened for the Share-a-thon, though.
That should have happened.
Thankfully, it did not. We had a taser in here.
That would have been a great promo for Shock Therapy Live.
Yeah, like a scary Nelson Walker taser. Like, it was a legit taser.
Like, is it the kind that shoots the prongs out?
No, it was like the kind that you hit and it like pop 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 makes those crazy popping like.
It's okay. Let me tell you something. It's not that legit.
That's not legit.
I've tased myself. I've tased my wife. My wife's tased me. I've tased Jesse. I tased Ray when he was here. We've done a lot of tasing here, and it's not as bad as it's cracked out to be.
I had to have known that if anybody in the universe, of all my friends who have ever been tased, you would be the one who's actually experienced it.
So when we had that naked Indian in my house,
right.
My grandma bought us a taser.
Okay.
Thinking, oh, I gotta help him out. She got us this crazy, really high voltage taser. The thing about a taser is it only works really well if you maintain contact.
So if
you just hit it and just touch, it feels like a bee sting.
Boom.
This is why tasers are a horrible option for protection, because what happens if you have an attacker that comes to you, you have to hug them and hold it onto them for it to have an effect.
How do you not get tased?
But the thing is, if you've got like a scary man who's trying to attack you, you don't want to hug him.
Right.
You want to like run away.
This is true.
So mace is a lot better option.
Oh, okay.
Or a gun.
This is exactly what Shock Therapy Live is for, to help you, to protect
Find
you.
Find out how to arm yourself.
To equip you. Yes.
Did that not sell?
What?
That
no, thing? Isn't that crazy?
That's sad.
Yeah, I know.
You guys should just mount it to the wall.
I know. We're going to figure out some cool stuff. We've got some other ways that people can help support Static Radio. We just had our Share-a-thon, and it was our most successful Share-a-thon we've ever had.
That's
we
awesome.
Raised the most money we've ever raised.
How much?
$39,800 and something dollars. I can't remember. Just under 40 grand.
Are you guys going to sumo wrestle then with Hulk Hogan mustaches?
No.
No?
No, we didn't get that guy that gave us that lump sum of awesome. We didn't hit that goal.
No, I thought it wasn't one lump sum. I thought if you guys reached like a certain number, it was going to
be. We didn't get to our goal.
What was the goal?
The goal was 100 new Klingons.
How many did you get?
86.
I think
we need
you guys,
14 more.
I think you guys should have like, because you guys were going to do some crazier stuff
for the whole 100. Yeah.
I think you guys should have like a mercy pity,
We may have to do something fun. We'll see. That's coming up for Rise from the Grave, which, by the way, there's some great opportunities if you would like to support Static Radio. There's another one coming up. We're going to post that information to Facebook, staring at the producer of Shock Therapy Live at some point. I saved that flyer on the desktop. Okay, anyways. a great way that you can help support Static Radio and other local businesses getting involved and is deciding to help us in a few short weeks. So make sure you keep it locked, too. That very thing. Wow, that's a big question. So
you get to read it.
Shock Therapy Live, it is your one-hour call-in session. It's centered around you. It's free therapy. How's that?
We already
answered the pastor. And so if you would like to keep anonymous, we get a lot of really deep questions on Shock Therapy Live. If you email us, studio@mystaticradio.com, we promise to maintain anonymity. We will keep you...
anonymity.
Anonymity. Anatomically. We will keep you atomically.
We will.
We will. We make that promise. So if you would like to email in studio@mystaticradio.com, or if you would be so bold, 505-338-3700. We love talking to you because then we get inflection. We can actually, if there are follow-up questions, we can really help you more if you're bold enough to call. So 505-338-3700.
If you email, please make sure to include your home address, your social security number, and your checking and savings account numbers and routing numbers, please.
I'm in therapy. Is expensive. It's really expensive.
Yeah.
You want me to read this really?
We're not going to tell you how much it is, but you'll find out.
Okay, there you go. There you go. All right, Shock Therapy Live, Pastor Nate Heitzig. The phone lines are open, 505-338-3700. And we'll get to line one here in just a minute. But we got an email question. It says, yesterday my wife, while looking for homework stuff for my 13-year-old son, came across a notebook in his book bag and said he immediately freaked out and started trying to take it from her. She thought it was because he had schoolwork in it that was unfinished, because that seems to be his problem the past couple of years. But upon further examination, she found it had drawings of naked women in it. He's a very good artist for a 13-year-old, but claims he just found the notebook on the floor and was using it because he needed paper and didn't draw these. She talked with him, and I did as well, and he said that was it, and he had not seen the stuff on the internet nor in magazines, etc. However, I later came across a drawing pad that had one of the same pictures drawn in it.
Oh, man.
Then
he's a serial drawer.
Then he said that was all there was, and he still demanded that the notebook was not his and that the one was his in the drawing pad, and that was just one that he copied. He copied one of the pictures. I was there once. I know what kids are thinking about. We don't just want him to see women as some, I lost it. This is the longest email in history, as some of these pictures portrayed, and I told him this. And also, he does not have the best example in uncles and my wife's stepdad when it comes to treating women with respect. And who knows about the influences at school? I asked him what we can do about this, and he said, throw them away. I said, I wish I could do that with these images in his mind, but we can't. I prayed with him. But it is just a tough subject because, you know, he's going to think about it. Is there any wisdom y'all have for this situation? It bothers me that he lied to me, and now I don't know what is truth. I just want him to be able to come to me with anything, if you know what I mean. Thank you for the question,
man.
Anonymous. Yeah, I have three boys.
Dude.
One is turning 10 years old in 7 days.
That is so funny. Hey, who drew these pictures? I don't know.
I don't know. I just found this notebook.
It's not mine. It's not mine. My dog does that. It's like my dog poops in the house and he looks at me like, what?
Yeah.
Like, that's not my poop. That's clearly your poop.
Right. You want to assume positive intent. I get that. But if your son found this notebook, quote unquote, found this notebook, and then later you found a drawing that looks exactly like the one in the other notebook, and he says, well, I copied that one from the other notebook, but that's it. These aren't my drawings. I mean, it is definitely, you prayed with him. That's good. You talked to him a little bit about, I mean, this is 13.
You know, this is hard.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we deal with a lot of people saying, you know, I struggle with pornography or masturbation, or my son or my kids do. And that's something where you can, like, put a lock on the computer. You can talk to him about it. But he's like, hey, I can't get access to porn online, so I'm going to draw my own.
Yeah.
That's hard. It's like, you know, that really boils down to a heart issue.
Absolutely.
You can't put a lock on his hand or his mind. So I think it really boils down to having a conversation with him, a really deep conversation with him, and say, look, you know, it's a natural desire to have that desire for women, but there's a right way to act on it. There's a wrong way to act on it.
Yeah. As a husband, when my boys, you know, depending upon the way they treat their mother or other kids at school, other females at school, thankfully I haven't had any situations like that yet, but, when we talk about the way we treat women, the number one source that your child has is you and the way that you treat your wife. And a great way to approach it without throwing stones at him and telling him, you know, he's going to burn in hell and you know, because the church has like this approach where all of a sudden when there's when there's naked girls drawings or something like that to a young child, you just scare, literally, you scare the hell out of them, in hopes that they just turn away because, well, here's what scripture says, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, you will not inherit the kingdom of heaven, and scare a 13-year-old. But on the flip side, you have an incredible example with the way that you treat your wife, the way that you treat his mother. And you can show that to him and say, look, do you think you would you ever find me with this kind of material? Would you ever? No. Why? Because I respect your mother. I respect my wife much more than that, because this is the way we are to treat women. And it may be, yeah, he's got all these other outside influences. He has all these other examples. But at the end of the day, a son wants to be his father. A son wants to grow up and be just like his dad. And so there is a great positive way you can talk about that. You can talk about the way that you treat your wife, the way you treat his mother. You can talk about the way that God, in turn, treats us and the way we want to be like him because we love him so much. And I remember when I was around this age, I'm trying to remember exactly when, I believe it was like fifth grade, so I was a little younger, maybe like 10 years old, and I was walking home from the bus. And we were going through the Arroyo because I was a little skater kid, and we passed through this Arroyo everywhere, and I found this magazine. And the cover, look at this, 9, 10 years old, and I'll never forget it. It said, Vanna Before the Wheel. And it was a picture of Vanna White on the cover, and it was a magazine called Playboy. And that was my first experience. That was my, obviously back then there's no internet, there's no computers or anything like that, but that was my first experience. And I immediately hid it in my backpack. Me and my best friend at the time.
Isn't it funny, you know that it's wrong. He knows
it's wrong. So much so that if you want to give him the benefit of the doubt and say, no, he found this notebook and he only drew one, the bottom line is he hid it from you. He hid it from you because he knew that it was wrong, that this was shameful and that this wasn't right. I immediately hid these photos, this magazine, in my backpack, and I took it home. And my friend, when we're 9 years old here, was so freaked out that he told his mother. And I'm like, we're good, man. You can't say anything. And of course, that afternoon, it was like, no, this, what? I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, you found it. How did that get there? Because when you're busted, you don't
Playboy
wanna,
bunny put it inside my backpack. And the Playboy bunny jumped me and beat me.
Yeah.
Forced me to take his magazines.
Thankfully, the conviction became heavy. And I of course, ended up confessing to that, because what do you do when you're in that situation? Of course, you want to pretend like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. What? How did that happen? It was a setup, Mom. You don't understand. However, in this situation, you're the parent. You know your son better than we do, whether he found this notebook by happenstance or these were his drawings. That's not really the quote-unquote key issue, other than, of course, him lying about it to cover it up.
Yeah.
The key issue is the heart behind it. And you really need to, more than just one 10-minute conversation at the dinner table. Now, this child is 13 years old, reading statistics lately about pornography and different things like that. Boys, by the age of 8 years old, I can't remember the percentage. It's a really high percentage of boys by the age of 8 years old have already viewed some form of pornography in some. And my son's about to be 10. These statistics freak me out.
Yeah.
This part is what is this probably the scariest about being a father, because you want to nurture and to some extent you want to obviously shelter from this crazy, but these drawings represent something that is coming out of his heart. I mean,
yeah, and,
curious,
I think
maybe he's exploratory. Who knows?
I think the bigger issue here, really, and this is really, I think, what your question is, and that is, how can you get him to talk to you? You know, you say you want to be there for him. You want him to be able to come to you with anything. So how do you create that kind of an atmosphere? I think that honesty and transparency, and also recognizing that this day was going to come, and a lot of parents can say, oh, my gosh, this day came. And like you said, give him the hell talk. But instead, I would have a conversation with them and say, you know what? When I was your age, I struggled with this as well.
Yeah.
And I've struggled with pornography. I don't want to put words in your mouth. Maybe you didn't. But be honest with them and say, hey, this is natural. And I want to let you know that I'm here for you, and that, what you did was wrong. But it's something that, you know, every man, it's normal to struggle with that. And so I want to be here to talk with you about that. You know, I want to be your accountability partner as a father to tell your son, hey, I want to keep you accountable.
Amen.
I want you to be honest with me. You know, don't feel ashamed. You don't have to feel like you have to hide it from me. But if you struggle with it, or if you want to look at those pictures, come tell me, come talk to me,
right.
And I'll pray with you. I won't get mad at you, you know, and create this atmosphere where he can talk to you. You know, I've done a lot of counseling for teenagers, and one of the biggest things to break down those boundaries and those barriers for when they come in, because they don't want to talk to their parents. That's one of the reasons why they're in my office usually.
Yeah.
And they say it because they feel judged. They feel judged, and they feel scared, and they feel like they're going to get in trouble. So one thing I always tell them is I say, hey, I'm an unshockable listener. You can tell me anything, and I'm not going to get mad at you. I'm not going to yell at you. I'm going to give you truth, biblical truth, about what the Bible says about it, but I'm not going to get mad at you.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to freak out on you. And so I think that's important. As a dad, if you can tell your son that, hey, you know, you can come to me with anything, and I'm not going to get mad at you. I'm not going to yell at you. I'm going to be an unshockable listener. I'm going to give you biblical truth. And at times, things you do might warrant a consequence, but I'm not going to get mad at you, and I'm not going to yell at you.
Right. No, I mean, that's it right there. Being that unshockable listener, being there for your son. You said it yourself. Hey,
yeah.
I was a boy. I remember what was in my mind. How did you, as a young child, get beyond that? How do you know, we all of us men here have had that at one point in our lives, a lust issue, whether it was pornography, or it was adultery, or it was fornication in general, or maybe it was masturbation, maybe whatever, in some form at least. We as men have dealt with that.
Yeah.
And talk to him about that, how you got beyond that.
You know, I think this points out to a fatal flaw in one of the ways that we parent just in general as a culture, and that is that I think that we need to start parenting the way that God parents us.
Yeah.
You know, I think that, you know, a lot of times when our kids do something wrong, we just instinctively get mad.
Right.
And we think that when we sin, God gets really mad at us. But that's not the case, you know. The issue is when we sin, it breaks God's heart. And I think that if parents would start viewing kids, and when their kids mess up, when their kids sin that way, instead of getting mad, just saying, man, that really broke my heart. I can tell you personally in my life, when my dad got mad at me, it didn't stop the behavior.
It kind of shut you down, right?
There was one time, when I really messed up, and I was expecting a consequence, some punishment. My dad just came in and said, man, you really disappointed me. You really broke my heart. And he actually had a tear in his eye. And when I saw that, I was like, oh my gosh, spank me, beat me, cut off my thumbs, put me in thumb clamps, put me in a little head thing where you turn the screws, do something to me, because I don't want to see you cry, man.
Right.
You know, and so I think that, you know, if we viewed the sin that our kids had the way that God views it, if it just, it just broke our hearts, it didn't make us angry, I think we'd have a lot easier time, one, talking to our kids about what's going on in their lives and the sin that's coming in their lives. And also, you know, having them take the right response to it, you know, and realize that sin is heartbreaking. Sin is a heartbreaking thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one thing that we've done in the Jeter household is, I mean, that's it. It's the lie that has that consequence. Look, son, we know something happened. Here it is. I just want to know the truth. Tell me the truth, okay? There may still be a consequence to whatever happened. However, it's not going to be nearly as severe. And isn't that, as you said, that's the way God is. I mean, we try and hide it, and we keep it close to the vest, and we don't want to tell anybody. We don't want to really. But if you confess that sin, God is faithful and just to cleanse you, to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. It's not there may be still an earthly consequence, but man, when we try and hang on to it, it just festers, it gets worse and worse and worse. And and so we've kind of tried to do that in our household.
You know,
as well.
I think through this idea that anger is just such a destructive thing. And so I think that what happens is when we get mad at our kids and say, what did you do? Did you do this? Are you sure? Don't lie to me. Happens is they go to the same level that we're at. No, I didn't do it. I didn't do it. It's an angry, like, no, don't judge me. Don't tell me. Whereas we come and say, man, it broke my heart that you did this.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you do this? It disarms them, and they end up responding with that same humble, like, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just such a different response.
Yeah, parents, you have to – I always have – you know, if one of my sons gets in trouble, go to your room, and then I have to sit down. I have to pray and just kind of calm myself and know, like, all right, Lord – guide me, dude, because I'm pissed.
And to a certain extent, like, seriously, like, I find even with my kids, like, just genuinely, like, even if you're not sad, but pretend to be sad. You know, when my son, no, when, seriously, when my son does something really, like, something, I sometimes just play with him. He does something bad. I'm like, Seth, that really hurt my feelings. Dad,
no.
I'm sorry, Dad.
Right.
I'm sorry, Dad. Because think about it like this way. It works with any relationship. Your wife. If you get in a fight with your wife, if your wife gets really mad at you and she's like, why did you do this?
Self-defense.
You end up going into arguing. But if she says, man.
Right.
You really made me sad. You're like, honey, I didn't mean to make you sad.
I would cross oceans for you.
Right? It's just
I would kill pirates for you.
So I think naturally we want to get mad in any situation. So it's so much better to it sounds horrible. Play the victim.
Play the victim. Hope that helps you, man. If you have a question for us, studio at mystaticradio.com. If you'd like to keep it anonymous, you can email in or you can give us a call. 505-338-3700. Oh, we lost line one.
Oh, man.
They got to call back.
What does a fox say?
And that's what you need to do with the phone lines. 505-338-3700. We have to take a quick break. Coming right back. Shock Therapy Live. Email studio at mystaticradio.com or 505-338-3700. Static Radio.
This is The Wire.
Friday, October 18th, 2013, starting at 7 p.m., you are cordially invited to God's House Amplified Youth for an explosive night of praise. A night where the youth of Albuquerque come together and express their gifts of art to the Almighty, including performances by local Christian bands, rappers, dancers, and singers. So, come on out and let's praise the Lord together.
Do you have a free event going on? Submit your event details for The Wire at mysteticradio.com.
Are you a crafter? Join us for the annual Velocity Craft Fair to help students raise funds for their winter retreat, The Peak. Craft Fair applicants may sign up online at calvaryabq.org. Hard copies are also available at the front desk at Calvary. Our craft fair features many different types of handmade arts and crafts and a snack bar. So please come out to show your support to our students and take home some wonderful gifts. You'll be doubly blessed. The annual Velocity Craft Fair, November 22nd and 23rd.
Join Static Radio on Thursday, October 31st at 8 p.m. at the Lobo Theater for Rise from the Grave.
Sorry.
Featuring the Almost. Rise from the Grave, featuring the Almost and Archibald. Dress up for our zombie costume contest.
Enter at your own risk.
Right, but you should because you can win some cool prizes like an iPod, an iPad mini, and some iTunes gift cards. Advance tickets are only $15 and available online now at mystaticradio.com. $20 at the door. This event is recommended for those ages 15 and above. Rise from the Grave, Thursday, October 31st at the Lobo Theater. Details available at mystaticradio.com.
Shock Therapy Live. What do you want to talk about? Comment now on Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio or call 505-338-3700. Now, more Shock Therapy Live.
Yo, yo, yo,
hot-dee,
yo.
Hot-dee, hot-dee, ho.
Yo, turn my headphones
hot-dee,
up.
Hot-dee, hot-dee, ho.
It is Shock Therapy Live. Steve-O, Pastor Nate Heitzig hanging out with you.
Yes. In breaking news, if you have not seen What Does the Fox Say, go YouTube that crap.
Here's the thing, man. We're trying to get out there. We want Shock Therapy Live and Team Awesome Morning Party and Static Radio in general to take over the world in radio format. And we're doing something awesome, I think. And then a song like What Does the Fox Say, which was a joke, has like 83 million views and people are crazy for it.
Well, maybe
money,
you
money,
guys
money,
should
money.
Dress up like a fox.
Maybe.
And impact the world for Jesus.
Maybe we'll
and
just
foxes.
Make ridiculous videos and start writing some outlandish songs. And I thought that phase was over. Lonely Island.
No. Nope.
Flight of the Conchords.
Never.
Apparently not. Apparently stupid songs are just going to be crazy. Sorry, Tenacious D. I meant to mention
Dude,
you in there.
It's been happening since Steve Martin.
Yeah, true.
Doing songs with like his little banjo, like rocking things on the stage.
Adam Sandler came in.
It's literally never stopped being funny.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Touche, my friend.
Like, even, like, the stupid, like, no-word picture movies. They got, like, the guy's, like,
and they're like dancing.
Stuff, like, hitting his eyes and poking his eyes.
Yeah. All right.
Pinching himself.
Music video coming soon. Mateo, myself. We'll make something stupid. It's gonna, a bajillion views.
A bajillion.
What? Oh, you posted that?
A bajillion.
I don't even know what you're saying. I don't even know what he's saying. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. Get there. Hang out with us. Also, if you would like to chime in for Shock Therapy Live.
What's he saying?
There's a microphone in there, but at some point...
That'd be cool.
It's too tough.
That'd be fun.
I know. I'm just saying. Our producer in there, hanging out. Let's see if we can get this.
Can you hear us?
Hey.
Are you there?
Hello?
Are you there?
Can you hear me?
Whoa!
Yeah. Boom.
Look at that.
Hang on.
Dude, that is so cool.
Hey, guys.
Hey, buddy.
What's up, man?
Just sitting in here, wishing that Felicia would call back.
Yes.
Felicia.
We got a phone call, 505-338-3700. We seem to have lost her. You're in there playing Roz, the Frasier character, because you're our producer right now.
Hey.
In the producer's room.
Wait, that was a girl.
You know, you got long hair. You probably have longer hair than Roz did on the television
show. I'm as pretty as that girl. I have a beard.
Dude, have you guys seen that flesh-eating heroin?
What?
No.
You guys see that stuff on USA Today?
Uh-uh.
There's this drug that people are passing off as heroin that's really not heroin. It's like some kind of like a strand of drugs that they've like done weird stuff to.
Oh, that's fantastic.
It literally eats your flesh.
Good grief.
So these people, they start doing it, and then you see these guys and they have chunks of skin and flesh missing. It's like the mummy. Meets drugs.
We need those photos for that slideshow.
Breaking Bad.
Oh my gosh.
Me and Mateo were just talking about having the drug conversation with Jack and Luke and how not to. And so we're going to need to get those for the slideshow.
Here you go, Luke. This is why.
This is a way better idea than just showing him Breaking Bad because that's what we were going to do.
Just get those billboards they put up there like, this is what your mind looks without meth and this is what your mind looks like with meth.
Oh, yeah.
Broken
brain on drugs.
Crazy. Yeah. Now I just want to eat breakfast. So, anyways,
we didn't cover the flesh-eating heroin because we only covered the great news, like the
Nicolas
big news,
Cage?
Which is Nicolas Cage is
greatest
the
actor in the globe.
That's hilarious.
On the globe,
that is
what?
So
We're
funny.
We're gonna go steal the Declaration.
I've got to say, the voice that you guys have, your Nicolas Cage voice, is more like your Keanu Reeves voice. You guys sound more like Keanu Reeves.
They just go in and
Nicolas
out.
Cage.
You don't even know. So,
all right, guys, there's a call. I'm out.
All right, fine. Peace out. Our producer in there, Mateo, hanging out, trying to enjoy the show.
I like that. I like having him come on.
I know. That was good. Now he knows how to work the microphone in there, and we can play producer and have fun.
Work the mic
like a vandal.
Rock the mic like a vandal.
It's Shock Therapy Live. Steve-O and Pastor Nate Heitzig, if you have a question for us, phone lines are open, 505-338-3700. Let's go out to line one, shall we?
What up, dude?
Hey! Is this supposed to be anonymous?
I was listening to your drug comments, man, and you know, recently I had some success. I got somebody into a program that I picked up on the side of the road. The guy called me last night, tells me that he's in rehab, and they're working on putting him back in school and getting him off meth. And, you know, and talking to him and just everybody and all the drug abuse that I've seen over the years, it just becomes very simple. Any drug, you know, I mean, all illegal drugs, all of them, are the bridge that the devil uses to isolate you to murder you.
Yeah.
That is it. I mean, you know, not everybody's, well, this one's not as bad as that one and so on and so forth. And it's just something that it's on my heart to say this morning to anybody and everybody listening. All illegal drugs, no matter how harmless they may look, all the way up to evidently flesh-eating heroin.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, I can't imagine that a human being would be so desperate to use something like that. But,
I mean, that's the depravity of a drug user. You think about it, and no rational person is looking at a situation.
Not just drugs, any addiction. Cutting.
Yeah, it's any sin, because if Satan said, hey, man, I really want you to sleep with your coworker, it's going to ruin your life. You're probably going to lose your marriage. You're going to isolate yourself from all your friends, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You'd be like, well, that's stupid. There's no way I'm doing that. But what they do is he entices you with like...
And it's little steps, baby steps.
Yeah.
Give a mouse a cookie, he wants a freaking methamphetamine.
Can I make t-shirts out of that?
You know what's true? And it is. It's very, very true that when you have an urge that's not good for you, that's placed, you know, in your midst by the wicked one, I mean, you know, that's an individual struggle. You know, last night I had a long talk with somebody who, as soon as he confessed, to what he was humiliated by, what he was embarrassed, he didn't want anybody to know how he was suffering, which is the strength of the devil. I mean, you know, I'm not going to say anything to anybody. I'm going to ride this out. and it just gets worse. As soon as he confessed to me, brother, I am falling down. This is what's plaguing me. I'm like, don't you feel better? And he goes, absolutely. And to know that I love you and it's all good, he's like, dude. And that's the thing that I would say to anybody, whether you're right, whether it's cutting, whether it's whatever it is that the devil's using to isolate you so that he can ruin your life and see you in misery or dead.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, confess to your brothers. That's one of the most beautiful parts of Christianity to me, is to be able to come to my brothers and say, dude, you already know I'm a sinner on my best day, right, and I am struggling like crazy to hold on to this rope right now. Can you help me?
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah, and you know, I think also too, just recognize that you gotta nip sin in the butt before it gets carried away. You know, but look at all these people on the street and people that are lost in sin. They didn't start out that way.
Right.
You know, no good little clean, pure girl woke up one morning and said, you know what? Today I wanna get pregnant and become a cracked out whore.
Right.
No one said that.
Right.
You know, it was a series of choices that led them to a place where they were doing things they never thought they would do because they dropped their standard a little bit every day.
And another great way the devil likes to trick people is this. Hey, man, you are unworthy. Look at what you've already done. You might as well just keep going down this road. No one's going to understand you. You're the only one dealing with this. You're the only one battling this. No, right. You know, if you say something to somebody, you're just going to lose your friends. You're not going to have any comfort around you. Your church people are going to judge you. And so we sit there isolated, not realizing that 1 Corinthians 10:13, we have a very incredible promise that there is no temptation that has overtaken you that is not common to man. God's not shocked by anything. He's not surprised by anything. He knows it, and he's still saddened by it. But the truth is, he promises in his word that there is no temptation that has overtaken you that is not common to man. And God is faithful. And with that temptation, he will always provide a way of escape.
It's an amazing thing when you realize something as simple as repentance.
Yeah.
You turn away quite literally from the sin and walk in a new direction. It's something that simple. You can change it right now.
Yeah, I think a lot of times we get this like idea that God sitting on the throne and you're hurting right now and you got to fix everything before you can come to him. You can't turn to him right now. Look at how dirty you are. He won't recognize you. He doesn't have time for you, peasant, which is not the case at all. God is standing there waiting, saying, hey, I'm right here, man. I love you so much. And it doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done, your past, let's just throw that away. Who cares? What are you doing right now? Turn to me. I love you so much. I just want to embrace you. And yet all the different lies that just try and trick us and trip us up and say, yeah, but man, but this time you don't understand, man.
You know, amen. And you know, it's easy to fall into because when you're on your own and you're consistently slipping, and the negativity is just surrounding you, and pretty soon you're engulfed by, you know, demons, for lack of a better word, and all you hear is negative, and it beats you down, and you lose that confidence, and pretty soon you're just like, you know, I just don't know, I don't know which way to go. I don't know to go forward or backward. I'm surrounded.
Yeah.
And it happens, and it gets to a point where you don't even have the confidence to tie your shoelaces. I mean, you're just, you know, and if you're in that place, I mean, there's no better place. Like you said, God's grace isn't, well, he loves me right now because I'm doing good. Oh, but he doesn't love me right now because I'm not. Oh, I slipped again, so he doesn't love me. Oh, I didn't do it this 5 minutes, so he loves me again. Dude, he loves you all the time.
Yeah, I think
it's a hard thing to sometimes to keep a hold on, that God's grace is always.
One of the things that sucks most, unfortunately, right now in this Western church culture is, there are churches out there who believe that shame is a gift of the Spirit.
Shame is a gift of the Spirit?
Shaming you. Shaming you so much so that you feel like a dirtbag, like worse than you've ever felt, because until we shame you enough to bring you back to Jesus, you're not going to repent and shame, and make you feel even more isolated and alone. And it's unbelievable how we, as a church body, can use that. And I'm not saying everybody across the board, but it's inundated in our culture right now, shame. Just shaming people, making them feel terrible.
It's like they wake up and they're like, you know what? The Holy Spirit's not doing a good job today. I'm going to take over.
I'm just going to take over and totally make this guy feel like a complete loser tool bag so that he'll turn back to Jesus. Because let's be honest, anytime you're shamed and feel like worse than anything else in the world, the first thing you want to do is turn to that organization that is shaming you. I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah.
So,
when did love take a back seat? I mean, I don't get that. So,
right. So Shane, thanks so much for calling.
Yeah, man. Love you guys.
Love you.
Thank
too.
You so much.
Later, yeah, buddy. Guys. Hey, bye. Keep an eye out for that flesh eating heroin.
Yeah, don't do drugs. Drugs are bad. Okay.
There you go.
Okay. All right, 505-338-3700. The phone number. You are tuned into Shock
Therapy.
We've
got another call in line, too.
Let's take it.
Crystal, what's
Hello.
Up? You're on Shock Therapy.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Welcome to the
Hi.
Show.
How's it going?
Oh,
good.
Fantastic.
How are you?
I'm good.
What's going on?
Well, I had a question because, I mean, I've grown up with addiction in my family for, I think it's just been a curse that's been on my family, and nobody's been able to break it. I mean, I have yet to touch drugs.
Well, then there you go. Somebody who's broken it. You just said nobody's been able to break it. You have not touched it. That's a break.
But just because I haven't touched drugs doesn't mean the enemy didn't tempt me with my own addiction.
Right.
True.
You know, and so, and he did. And I mean, it took God alone to finally let me see that and realize that.
That's everyone. Well, so you're in good company.
Now, my question really is about my dad, because my dad's been struggling with, I think his whole life has become just this obsession with, you know, everything that is wrong for you. I mean, it's not just drugs or alcohol, you know, but it's like his lifestyle, and he's just consumed by it.
Right.
And the only time he ever communicates with me is when he's in jail, which he's in jail right now. But I've been using this opportunity to actually write to him and express how I feel about him, and even, you know, regardless of everything that he put my family through and put me through, you know, I God's given me that love and grace and forgiveness for him. And I'm trying to express that to him, but he, you know, he's just so deep into it. And I've been praying that God will help me break through, but it's just, I feel like it's, you know, it's not doing anything. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know if you guys have any advice, you know, or.
Well, that's amazing. It seems like this is a continuation of Shane's phone call. It's incredible.
You know, I had a friend actually, who is going to remain nameless, but he had his father, was in a similar situation to where your father is. He had an addiction, and that addiction kept, resurfacing, kept coming back, and he kept winding up in jail. He kept winding up with cops at his door, kept winding up with different things happening to him. And, his son, would constantly be there for his dad, which is what you want to do. So his dad would call and say, hey, I need you to bail me out. Hey, I need you to do this. Hey, I need you to do this. And he was constantly there for him. And what happened is, in the same way that sometimes parents can put their kids in a cycle, he put his father in a cycle, because his father was continuing to be able to do what he wanted to do because he continued to have the support and this love from his family. And so what eventually had to happen is the son finally had to say, you know what? No. You know, to a certain extent, I'm going to cut you off at this point. I'm going to let you know that I love you, and if you ever want to come to your senses, I'm here for you, but I'm not going to be the person that's only there for you when you're in trouble. You know, if you really want a relationship, then, you know, like you're saying, he only writes you when he's in jail. You know, that's not right. That's not good. And so you got to cut that off and say, you know what? When you're out of jail, I'm here for you.
Yeah.
But to a certain extent, you've got to wake up and you've got to realize that what you're doing is constantly landing you into sin. Mm-hmm. Einstein said it best. He said the definition of insanity is to do the same thing over and over again and expect different results.
Right.
And so by that definition, your father's insane.
Right.
You know, it's like you're doing the same thing over and over and over again. When are you finally going to realize that the way you're living your life and what you're doing is not benefiting you?
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that in your question, it's like, how do I approach him and not come off as, you know, just like a punk? You know, how do I approach him and not come off as rude? But to a certain extent, there comes a point when love needs to be tough love, and love no longer should be this soft, like, oh, hey, you know, what can I do for you? Like, I want to encourage you, but I don't want to come across as mean. There comes a point when love has to be a certain, you know, to a certain extent mean. And you know, to a certain extent say, what you're doing is asinine. Like,
right.
What are you doing with your life? You
right.
know, what are you trying to achieve? And so I think there comes a point when you have to have a very real and honest conversation with your dad and say, Dad, what are you doing with your life? You know,
yeah.
What is happening? And so you've got to be extremely honest with him. You've got to be brutal. And you got to a certain extent, just confront him with his sin, with how he's living his life. And that's going to be a hard conversation you're going to have with him. But I think that until he gets a strong dose of that reality,
right. There's
not going to be any change in his life.
Right. Well, I agree. And I mean, And our life, really, our relationship has been really just non-existent because, I mean, there was a 15-year span that I didn't even know where he was. And,
wow.
And then one day he just showed up again, and I was like, oh, you know. And, you know, it's just, and, but, you know, and it's not funny, but it is, you know, ironic how his life has cycled in itself. I mean, the history that he has is repeated over and over and over, you know, just with different people, you know, and I mean, he's abusive, you know, and I watched him almost kill my mom, which, you know, I mean, it's really hard to love somebody after you see that, but, you know, like I said, God's been really great with that, and he's been working on me with that because my unforgiveness towards my dad was hindering my relationship with God. And so I've been just trying to, like, keep that bridge open without, you know, I don't know. It's just,
Crystal,
it's like a really delicate situation.
Let me ask you this question. Does he believe in Jesus in the Bible?
I think he believes in God, but I don't think he knows the truth.
Okay.
You know what I mean? You know, like, he admits that there's a higher power at work, but he doesn't admit that it's God or that it's Jesus, and I don't think he feels that he's worthy of it because he's been so, you know, like you said, the isolation. He's been in this so long, I don't think he sees a way out.
Yeah.
And even if you, like, you know, stamp it on his forehead, I don't, you know, that's my thing. And I know that that's the only work that can do that is the Holy Spirit. And I that's why I pray every day for him. You know, I just wish I could do more. You know what I mean?
Like, you know, what I would say is I think at this point, honestly, I would approach him and talk to him, you know, again, and just really basically preach the gospel to him. That's what I think through is I'm like, man, this guy just needs to have the gospel preached to him. You know, you've just got to be an evangelist and share with him the truth and the love of Christ. But at the same time, with someone like this, because sometimes the only way they can get out of this is realize what they're doing, what their sin's ultimately leading to. So, you know, I'd approach him and just talk to him about the basics, the idea of heaven and hell, the idea of Jesus who came to this earth to die for our sins, all the things we've ever done, no matter how bad, you know, no matter what it is, God came to die for those things and he came to forgive us of those things. But at the same time, let him recognize and say, you know, based on the way you're living right now, if you were to die today and stand before God, do you think you'd go to heaven or hell? And let him answer that question honestly. And it sounds like he's very aware of his sin, that he would recognize, man, I'd probably go to hell, and then say, well, it doesn't have to be that way.
Right.
You know, Jesus Christ came and died so that you could go to heaven and you can have an opportunity to be forgiven of all the things you've done.
Yeah.
And again, the issue here isn't me. The issue here is your relationship with God.
Right.
And before you can have a good relationship with me, you have to have a good relationship with God. And, you know, I think I would just, from the very basics, just preach the gospel to him. I wish I could talk to him. I'd love to just talk to him and just share the gospel, just the truth of the Word of God. You know?
Well, there are so many examples in Scripture of men, great men, who failed greatly as well. I immediately thought of Samson, who in Judges, it talks about him doing that same thing over and over, not expecting to get caught or not expecting consequence. So it's like, hey, Delilah, do this. Oh, that didn't work. Do this. Oh, that didn't work. And then he said, you know, when she cut his hair, it was like he got up as if to do the same things he'd been doing and all of a sudden fell on his face because his strength had left him. And you continue to do those same things thinking that it's okay, it's going to be different this time, whatever. He also needs to understand that whether David, Samson, I mean, I'm thinking of Peter right now, your dad going through rock solid, which is rocking my world right now, because this is a man who walked with Jesus day in and day out. And when it got tough, he denied his best friend in the universe.
Oh, wow.
Three times, you know, it was like he denied him. And yet when Jesus rose again, he came to Peter and he's just kicking it fishing because it was like, well, dang, I blew it. I'm never going to amount to anything. I denied my Savior, so I might as well go back to being a fisherman. And Peter's, man, this series in Rock Solid is just kicking my butt because it's that reminder. We are all foolish and all of our greatest accomplishments are just dung. Compared to the glory of God, and He needs to understand that he's not the first or the last person that's going to fail, that he's not too far gone from God. And it's okay to show that tough love and remind him over and over that you do this because you love him, because you care for him, because you're tired of the same old over and over and over. And I promise you, somebody who's caught in that cyclical cycle comes a point where they're tired of the same old over and over and expecting different outcomes. And that's why Jesus is truly the only one that can fill that void. It says in Ecclesiastes that he's written eternity in our hearts. And so obviously your dad's longing for something and he's trying to find it somewhere and he doesn't find it and remembers, but for some reason forgets that and keeps going to the same things over and over. And he will never be fulfilled until he has Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Right. No, and I know that. And I just, you know, and I wish I was closer to him. We're actually like, I'm in New Mexico. He's in Washington State.
Oh, wow.
So it's just like, you know, our only communication is letters. And I mean, and I write, you know, I'm a writer, so I can write letters, you know, but, you know, and I pray over my letters and I just, you know, I don't know. I just was looking for a little bit more insight. And I do appreciate all of your guys' input. It's really starting to kind of make sense. And, you know, the insanity thing for sure, you know, because I mean, it's true. I mean, that's what I see is he's just done his life the same over and over and expecting something different.
This is the thing. People who are stuck in addiction like this, people who are stuck in a cycle like this, only think of the now and they don't think of the future.
Right.
So I try as much as possible to get him to think about the future and ask him some really deep questions like, hey, Dad, I just want to ask you, you know, if you ever get a chance to do a phone call or even in a letter, say, what's going to happen to you when you die?
Yeah.
Right.
And just ask him that question and say, because the way you're living your life, you know, death is coming rapidly to your doorstep, you know, the road you're on. And so what's going to happen to you when you die? And get him to think about that. Get him to really ponder that question, like, man, what's going to happen to me when I die? Because you want him to realize that what he's living, the way he's living right now, is more than just right now. It carries on to his future and ultimately to his ultimate destiny. Yeah. And so I would get him to think about some really deep questions like that and hopefully get him to be open to the idea of the gospel and Jesus Christ and an opportunity to share with him who Jesus is and what he's done for him.
Absolutely.
But you got to get him to stop thinking about the temporary, the now, and get him to think about the permanent, the future, you know.
I also want to offer up Galatians 6:9 to you. It says, don't grow weary in doing good, for at the proper time you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. You're doing good work. You are reaching out. You are trying so hard, it sounds, to maintain a relationship with your father who's trying so desperately to destroy all the relationships in his life.
Yeah.
So don't grow weary in writing those letters and praying over what the Holy Spirit is telling you in those to say in those letters or how you ought to approach it or how you ought to love him, because I've seen so many times people grow weary in that, and then they do, because we're humans, we give up. It's tough to see people destroy themselves over and over, but I challenge you to continue, because God's got some great promises for you. You are doing an amazing thing as a daughter of God, trying to reach out to somebody who is obviously lost and just caught up in the cyclical cycle. But continue to be there and have that hard truth and be that tough love, but continue to love. You're doing an incredible job.
Thank you so much, guys.
Yeah.
Well, I got to get going, but thank you for everything, and you guys have a great day.
You too.
God
thank
bless.
You so much for the call.
All right.
505-338-3700 is the phone number. We got to take one quick final break. Coming right back. Get your email questions in, or you can give us a call. 505-338-3700. Phone lines are open. Or studio at mystaticradio.com. It's Shock Therapy Live. Static Radio.
Hey, this is Celeste from The Prelude, our on-air worship sesh at Static Radio, inviting you to join us for a worship night with none other than Benjamin Dunn and the Animal Orchestra.
My name is
Don't miss this worship night, Sunday, October 27th, 6 p.m. at Calvary Knob Hill at the Lobo Theater. Find more information at mystaticradio.com. We'll see you there.
And I'm going to sell the end to the end of the sea.
Most kids who grow up being dragged to church will leave the faith when they leave home. With the challenges that are coming, the secondhand salvation from mom and dad won't cut it. If you want to own your faith for yourself, maybe Spectrum with Pastor Jesse Lusco is the place for you.
It doesn't matter how worthless you feel, how far you've gone. Jesus Christ is a better Savior than you are a sinner. He's a better Redeemer than you are a runner.
Spectrum High School Ministry. For more, check out SpectrumABQ.org.
Shock Therapy Live. Maybe this time the treatment will take. Better yet, chime in now on Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio or call 505-338-3700. We find it best to get it off your chest. Now, more Shock Therapy Live.
All right, welcome back to Shock Therapy Live. Got a few minutes left of show. Steve-O and Pastor Nate Heitzig with you. It's been a great show, man. Talking about addiction, talking about how to help a young 13-year-old through naked drawings. If you missed any part of the show, we do podcast it week in and week out. You can check it out at mystaticradio.com/shocktherapylive or chime in. Chime in now, 505-338-3700 or through email, studio@mystaticradio.com.
Yeah. A show about naked drawings and innocence lost.
There you go.
Kind of like Titanic, gosh, except without a big ship crashing.
I feel like I need to play this, but I really we're so running out of show. So.
And I...
We got an email. What is this email that we got?
Yeah.
Speaking of
hello,
Titanic and
I just wanted to give
rings.
Anonymous and you all a quick story on this topic, the
okay.
naked drawing topic.
All right, cool.
This happened to my husband when he was 13, and it actually turned out really well. He wanted to be an artist and was trying to draw girls, but the proportions were all wrong, if you know what I mean. So his dad, a wonderful Christ-loving man, actually bought him a calendar of art that involved nearly naked women but were not in compromised situation for him to use as a study for his art, but talked to him about how art was powerful and God made the human body beautiful and that in order to respect the beauty that God made, we needed to depict it accurately and with respect. My husband had to decide at an early age whether his art was going to be for selfish reasons or to glorify God, and he chose well. I am proud of him because of it. Best luck and prayers with your teens.
Man.
Well, this is my thing. I guess
it worked out well.
Well, this is my question. I'm like, what kind of a calendar was it?
There you go.
Like, was it a calendar of like art by like Michelangelo? Because there's some nearly naked women in Michelangelo's art
okay.
that are, you know, that's like
okay,
you know, that's like legit art. Or was it like, hey, here's the Hooters 09 calendar, son?
But they're wearing T-shirts and shorts.
Yeah.
So. I hear you.
So, like, what kind of a calendar was that?
Yeah, I mean...
I think instinctually, like, don't do that!
Yeah,
that's bad!
That's immediately what I thought, too. As a man, it was like, dude, we are very visual. Job said, I have made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully after women. We, as men, have to control that moment by moment.
Yeah, but then I think through, like, you know, through some truly fine art,
truth.
You know, there are nearly naked women and nearly naked men, but I don't think we look at that and be like, oh, man, Mona Lisa, man, she's looking hot.
Dude,
now, granted,
yeah.
She has, like, a lot of clothes on, but at the same time, like, I don't think you look at, like,
and
that
no
fine
eyebrows.
Art.
What are you talking about? She's hot. No, she has no eyebrows.
Dude, that's an Italian thing. Lay
okay.
off.
Team Awesome Morning Party. That's not us. That's it. Shock Therapy Live. I'm staring at my other co-host, and I'm thinking, is this line one? Do we need to take this? Is this a okay? Here we go. All right, we got a minute left. Ready? Rapid fire. Go, caller.
Hello. Morning.
Good morning.
Hi. Hey. So I got a friend who was asking me about his girlfriend that you know is usually really moody, really negative, hardly ever happy, and then like
right. You said female. Yeah. Okay.
He had a dream that his girlfriend was demon-possessed, like just, you know, just went out. And then in real life, like there was a situation where they were, I don't know, together. And like he kind of heard her, like two voices come out of her. And even she saw it and she's like, oh, it's just my throat or something like that,
okay.
You know. But he freaked her out. So the question is, like, is it possible to somebody to be demon-possessed without knowing?
Is this girlfriend, does she consider herself a Christian? Do you know if this person
she
is a believer in Jesus Christ?
She was brought up in the, you know, going to church and stuff, but she doesn't really, like, live by it, you know?
Okay. I asked that for a very important reason, because I think a lot of times Christians believe, like, oh,
yeah.
I'm possessed by demons, and, well.
Yeah. Yeah, that's such a, right now, with just, like, knowing, just hearing the story, it's hard to say, like, you know, is it possible for someone to be demon-possessed? Yes. Is it possible for them to know it? Well, I think that if you're possessed by something, that's kind of taking control of you, so it's possible for it to push away, you know, your conscious mind and be filled with something else, but do I think she's demon-possessed? Not necessarily, you know, you'd have to know a lot more than just a quick radio call.
Yeah, and more than just a dream. I had a dream this morning that Aaron Paul wanted to take Static Radio National. I told Mateo about it when I woke up. I was really bummed that it wasn't real.
It's so funny, too. It's like, man, once a month my girlfriend gets super moody. She's cranky. She's angry. She talks in other voices that I don't know. Is she demon-possessed? No. It's called a period. You know, it's like, it's just so, it's a funny question. It's like, you know, she talks, she's like, oh, 666. Oh, sorry, that was a cold. I don't know.
So there's Shock Therapy Live for you. Thanks for the call. We are out of time. If you missed any part of the show, we podcast it at mystaticradio.com.
Once a month, she's like a different person.
Master Nance, everybody. Yes! Oh, what a way to end the show. Well, we'll be here next Wednesday.
I guess in a sense, it is a demon. When she's in that time, all I see is red.
Comments made do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Real Doctors, Moms, Calvary of Albuquerque, any political party, Puppies, Static Radio, or, well, just about anybody else except for the moron who made us use the delay.